I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We have one line open. We can work with you guys rather than talk about our kids, because that would be pretty boring. Let's go back to Claire in Florida, who is fighting with her open DNS. You still there, Claire?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
All right. So here's our theory, as we were discussing during the break. I think you're leaking out via your IPv6 settings. So you can get internet via IPv4, which is the IP addresses that we're running out of, or via IPv6. And if your router is dutifully offering you both IPv4 and IPv6 DNS settings, your internet browser could be surfing unprotected on the IPv6 connection.
In my foggy memory way back when, I remember something about that. And yes, it is showing both as working.
Right. And so
configure IP4.
You can configure IPv6.
That says automatic. And then it says there's three IP6 addresses.
Yeah. So you can turn off the IPv6 if you wish. And just run via IPv4 within your home, or you can configure the IPv6 settings in their DNS server addresses, because we have those posted over at Computer Talk as well. They're a little more. It's a whole separate range, right? So when you're communicating over the internet, you're communicating over an IP scheme, and your iPad got an address, right? It got an address of internally a 192.168.1.10, let's say. And the DNS settings are the ones you're using for OpenDNS, are the secure ones. But the IPv6 protocols are working too, and the browser is saying to itself, hey, well, I'm connected over IPv6. I can get DNS from those settings as well. And if it's getting DNS server settings that are not the OpenDNS settings, you're not necessarily browsing securely, and you got to do both, or turn off IPv6 so you don't communicate over IPv6.
So what do I do then?
We're gonna put a link out there for you, Claire, and you're gonna put in a bunch of numbers because OpenDNS gives you the ability to secure it on this side. And the thing that you bring up is a good one, because we always forget about OpenDNS on the IPv6 side of things, and in your router. People, if you've got your configuration running on your router, if it offers both IPv4 and IPv6 IPs, you need to either decide on your DHCP settings if you're going to allow the IPv6 to be broadcast or not. Because if you don't put the controls in the IPv6 settings, that side of the equation isn't protected.
Okay, I guess I understand. You realize you're talking above my pay grade here a little bit.
Well, that was for everybody else besides you, Claire, because you're doing this on your device itself. But we talk about securing the router a lot, and we are constantly remiss to bring up IPv6.
Yeah.
But the thing about this with OpenDNS is you can always check to see if you're running securely, and we can put a link. If you just go to welcome.opendns.com, it'll put a checkbox, a nice orange checkbox, to tell you whether or not you're configured properly. It's going to say, hey, your internet is safer, faster, smarter because you're using OpenDNS.
I got into something when I was just poking around here before I called. It says Cisco bought it out, and then I was into all kinds of stuff that had nothing to do with, or you had to pay for it as well. Umbrella now it's called or something. Maybe right. That's for businesses.
It is for businesses. So okay. What you're using is the free home.
With me.
It doesn't. But it is owned by Cisco, which is good news. Okay. Generally speaking, good news. But we got to remember the IPv6 side of the equation. So that's your issue, Claire. Okay. I bet that's your issue.
Did I delete those or something at one point, maybe?
Maybe. You could have. And then, of course, you do the iOS update and it puts them back.
Oh, okay.
That very well could have happened.
All right. So I'll look for the links on that you're putting up.
Yes, ma'am. They'll be there for you.
And follow that. Okay. All right. Well, I thank you so much. I enjoy listening to your program.
We enjoy to have you down there in Florida. Thank you.
Thank you. See you in Connecticut, I hope, in the spring.
All right. Very good.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. And, we always forget the IPv6 side of the DHCP server.
So she apparently appears to be a snowbird.
Yes. Good for her. Best of both worlds. Let's go on to John in Winchester next. What's going on, John?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, got a question for you. We're in the market for a laptop and
Yep. Went
out and did some shopping. I've had really good luck with HP products, so I kind of focused in on them and I was in one of the big box stores yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I started looking at and was the difference in processors, the
right.
Intel i5s versus the AMD Ryzen 7.
Yep.
And my question is both in performance and durability. Is there any marked differences in those two?
Well, durability-wise, Tab is an Intel Gold level provider of CPUs because we build our own computers and servers. And in that time, I've been here 30 plus years, in the time that we put out hundreds and hundreds of servers and workstations for our clients using Intel processors, I can think of one, maybe two times that we ever had a problem with a processor. So durability-wise, the Intel processor is great. Now, we don't use AMD, so I can't compare. Whether or not they would be just as good. The Intel processor has been great for us. As far as your comparison on performance, there's many things you have to pay attention to besides just i5, i7. You got to consider the generation.
Mm-hmm.
So 8th, 9th, 10th gen processors, the later the generation, the newer the generation that you have, the better the processor will be technically. It might consume less power and give you more performance.
Gotcha.
So keep that in mind. That might be why the price of the laptop is lower or higher, depending on that.
Gotcha, yeah. And then the other question I have is an i5 compared to a Ryzen 5 the same thing, or is that like a Kleenex and Scott Tissue kind of thing? It's just all in the naming.
They are different processors, and the best option there would be for us to give you a link on a CPU comparison website for you to do that work. What type of work are you going to use the laptop for?
This is primarily going to be for home use.
Okay.
Although my wife has a little bit of a craft business she might be starting, so, you know, listing something on ST, you know, that kind of a thing. But primarily it's going to be home, and then with this need for video chatting, because of COVID and all that, we'd probably want to be focusing on that a bit.
Yeah, so I'll tell you that either processor will serve you well. I don't know what the AMD equivalent of an i5 level processor is, but we can put a link up here that gives you comparisons between the two.
Okay.
I would counsel you to stick with an Intel CPU. However, there's a big shortage in laptops, so you may not have that choice as much as you'd like.
Okay.
So stick with an i5, and if you can stick with a 8th, 9th gen CPU, it'll be more powerful, even 10th gen if you can find them.
Yeah, the couple of the ones I'm looking at, I think they were 11th generation, so...
11th gen?
Yeah, 11th gen i5.
That's even newer than I would expect.
Yeah, the other question I have is in terms of the Office suite. I obviously don't want to get the Office 365. I have a Office Home and Student 2010.
Mm-hmm.
If I brought an external hard drive, would 2010 work on this newest...
On Windows 10?
On Windows 10, yeah.
So it's a 2010 edition. It probably will load. You need to go get your security code and the key there and reinstall it. It probably will load, right? The 2010 flavors of Office do work.
It may or may not activate.
Because it's already been activated.
Correct. It may or may not. But they're on the same token. If you're connecting that to an Exchange server, it's got to be up to date. And if it's a 2019 Exchange server, it probably won't work.
Right.
But if you're just getting,
home mail.
Regular. Can you guys speak, turn the volume up a bit there?
He's not on his mic again. it's the holiday season, and I just can't bring myself to smack him.
Okay. So if you're using something other than Exchange to get your mail, then it'll probably work for you.
Okay.
Probably.
I also have a much older version of Office 2000. I don't know if I want to go back.
No, that won't work. That won't even install.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, it won't even install, right? I mean, 2000. I think anything older than 2007 won't work.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I've got what I want on this CD.
Yep.
Which is basically Word and Excel. And then the other thing is, if this doesn't work, off-brand Word programs?
Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of free ones out there.
Yeah.
OpenOffice is out there. LibreOffice is out there. So there's all sorts of alternatives to paying Microsoft for the rest of your life.
And of course, you can do that.
Yeah, and of course, you can buy Office still. The Office Microsoft has already agreed. They wouldn't have done this if they didn't find that the market was not necessarily totally all into the cloud. They have an Office 2021 coming out.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So there's Office 2019 you can purchase once now, and an Office 2021. They wouldn't have done that if they thought everybody was going to pay forever. Because there's tons of folks out there like you and me who don't feel renting Word to write a Word document makes a whole lot of sense. Like, it's like renting the typewriter.
Yeah.
It gets a little silly.
Okay. All right. I think I'm all set here, guys. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Much.
You're welcome.
Yep. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. So, yeah, there is 11th gen processors coming out. That's great. But there's still 8th gen out there, 9th gen. Heck, we see 7th gen out there. And they're all going to work differently, faster, a little better, a little more cores, depending on the generation.
Well, they're. Yeah, work better with the newer software.
Right. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get back to your calls. This is Computer Talk. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk. We have two lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about so far is posted live by Mike G. It goes over to our website at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And when I say that it's the name of the show, literally, it's www.thenameoftheshow.com. That also works. That was Bob's idea, which that just tickles me. I love that we do that. And then, of course, if you follow us on Facebook at Tab Computer Systems, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, and which is definitely more and more an issue these days, if he deems the news worthy, it might get into your news feed. So you can follow us there as well. And, of course, if you've missed anything, radio.com is an amazing app. You can do everything with WTIC here with radio.com and find us on past podcasts or listen to any of the live shows on radio.com. It's pretty amazing. It works really well. And I got to remind you guys that you got to help out the holiday store this year more than ever. If you text WTIC to 41444, so text WTIC to 41444, and you'll get a little website link. And from there, you can go ahead and make a donation. And WTIC, the Holiday Store, and Salvation Army would be eternally grateful, only because this year really is a year that we really have a lot of need out there. And anything you can do, I mean, whatever you can do, will be appreciated. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Dale in East Hartford next. What's going on, Dale?
Hello, Eric.
Hello, sir.
Hey, got a quick question. My son has been working from home
using you know, my home network for the past, you know, 9-10 months or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, he's moved out to his own house now.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old is he?
Road, but finally made it.
How old is he?
27.
Oh my gosh, you deserve a medal.
Oh boy, the long story.
I'm sure it is. Yep, yeah. Go ahead.
So everything worked fine here on my home network.
Yeah.
You know, his company laptop. He moves out to his house. He gets Cox in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets their modem router combo.
Yeah.
And his personal laptop hooked right up. Mm-hmm. His phone hooked right up. My phone hooked right up. Everything hooks up except the company laptop. It shows the network. It says it's there. It says it's connecting. But then it won't go out on the web. And he's called his tech support at his company. And his company says it's not a setting in his laptop. And I'm like, it's got to be. But any clue, any idea where I can go?
Yeah, so maybe Cox configured a different type of Wi-Fi than you have in your home. Do you have both the 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz SSIDs broadcasting?
In the house, I only have 2.4. His house, right. He has a 2.4 and the 5.
Tell him to turn off the 5. And
turn
tell him
the 5.
And tell him to connect just to the 2.4. Just choose the 2.4. I'm only trying to figure out if maybe his company laptop can't handle the 5 properly. Maybe there's a problem with the driver. We already know it works on 2.4 because it works in your home.
Yeah.
And they're not blocking it in any way.
No, it sees the network and it says it's connecting, but it, you know, it'll connect. Then you try to, you know, go to the company website and it just nothing happens. Then it says no internet connection.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's he's connecting to the 5 gigahertz radio, and the laptop maybe doesn't have that. Bob has another idea.
Ah.
Yeah, sometimes the IP stack gets corrupt, and you can reset it. So I put a link up.
In the laptop,
In the laptop. So after you run a shell command, and I put up a link so that you can actually run the commands, and it's from Microsoft. So you run that, and then after you do that, you got to reboot your computer. If it's the IP stack that's corrupt, then it'll fix it. But if it's not the IP stack, then I'd say go to Eric's solution.
And, of course, if he brings his machine back to your home, I mean, of course, you've changed the locks already, but if he brings the machine back to your home, does it work?
Yes, it does. It hooks right back up.
Then it wouldn't be corrupt, right?
No. Uh-uh.
All right.
No.
So then I think that's a longer shot than the broadcast area on the SSIDs that you're getting at his new space.
Okay. So to turn off the 5 gig and just try to hook up to the 2.4.
Just to see. To see. And then if there is an issue, then he can always let his company IT know that it looks like his 5 gigahertz radio has got a problem. That might be causing the issue.
Okay. Yeah, I went over the other night and I was looking at it and I couldn't, you know, I'm like, whatever. Couldn't figure it out. Everything looked fine to me, but.
Right, and you already said everything else connects, right?
Right, everything. I can walk in the house, never been there before, and get right on.
Without a password?
Well, you know, with a password.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, okay, well, we'll give that a shot. I'll go out there today and we'll try that. And
try to force that 2.4.
Yeah.
Sounds
good. Well, I appreciate your time as always.
Good luck. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
We're going to go on to Chuck in Durham next. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I think your conversation with the lady from Florida helped me a lot.
Awesome.
I have a brand new EERO router.
EERO, huh?
Right. And I looked through your little list of router settings, and that one is not listed in any way, shape, or form.
All right.
Anyhow, the only way I can really get into the router is an app on my cell phone. I go to Settings, Advanced, DNS, Custom DNS, and I drop in, I guess, the magic numbers on the IPv4s.
Yep.
I don't know what those numbers are. I forgot.
Right. I don't memorize them either. We haven't written
them. Bob knows them.
Bob knows them. I know he knows them. So, yeah, you put those numbers in. Do you need those numbers now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then I don't put them in on the IPv6.
Oh, you need to put the, you got to put in the IPv6 flavor of those numbers to protect that connection.
Oh, well, then I guess I need both then.
Yep. So here's the thing. The IPv6 numbers are ridiculous to rattle off. So it's cheaper, quicker, and cheaper for you to go to our website over at computertalkwithtab.com. The links have both those numbers there for you, sir.
Okay.
And that way you'll put them in, because if we try to rattle off the IPv6 ones, Bob does not have those memorized.
I'm surprised.
And me too, but not really when you see them. And they'll be there for you. So put those in both areas or turn off the IPv6 broadcast.
So right now, when I don't look at custom DNS, the IPv6 numbers are blank.
Right, you're getting them from the cable provider, or and they're just passing them through. When you customize them, you're saying, "I don't want to use your cable provided DNS. I want to use these DNS numbers." That's why. So blank is normal. Adding the numbers is what you want to customize it.
Okay, so I got to put in both the IPv4s and the IPv6s. Primary and secondary.
You got it, sir.
All right, and it's going to be on Computer Talk with Tab.
That's where it always is.
All right. I'll call you next week.
We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And I'm checking his levels. And
sound, that is.
Yeah, there we are. And we're just refreshing the call screen. Four lines wide open here in the final stretch. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we're waiting for your calls, I do have a news story, but I wanted to do a shout-out to the guys on the stream that we can see commenting. We got Carmine. Remember Carmine Filaramo? He is our digital camera guru, and he is on there on the Facebook page there. I'm sure if he had a digital camera question, he would even answer it while he's on the stream. Glenn is there. You got Kevin and Rich and Glenn even commented that he shares his 365 account with four other folks. They split the bill, which is a way to do it, I guess. So as we're waiting for you guys, and this is on WTIC's Facebook page, we are broadcasting live. While we're waiting for your calls, if you're an Apple user, I'm sorry, I got some Apple news for you. Users are complaining that iOS 14.2 causes some older iPhones to overheat and rapidly lose charge. It released an iOS 14.2 last month with a laundry list of 24 security updates. And then what's happening is the older devices are saying, after this update, my iPhone SE 2016 is what they're saying. It's an iPhone 8 Plus. We're just fine until 14.2. Now the fully charged battery drops to 45% overnight, and the charge drops rapidly even while simply reading my email. And of course, he's got two of them, and it's happening to both of them miraculously after the update. So Apple may have an issue here. Of course, there's another issue with the iPhone 11 display, I guess, that you guys are probably aware of if you have the Apple 11. But I'm sure they'll take care of it, because Apple is good about taking care of things. But it looks like it has got this new version is affecting older generations, including iPhone 6s and 7s, and of course the XS's, and even the 2018 iPad Pro. So, sorry guys, this is what happens with updates, right? When you have an iOS update of any kind, if they haven't worked all the bugs out going to the older hardware. Now, what they would do in the past is they would throttle your battery, slow your system down to save you from their update, and then you'd be like, geez, I really need a new phone. Hopefully that's not the case in this case, and they're going to finally update again the iOS 14.2. We'll put a link up here for you, because if you're having this issue, you can't be alone, and we can talk about that too. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Did you have an article you wanted to bring up, Bob, as a way for calls?
Yeah, I got another one, and this gets back to software as a service, more or less. I've seen that article. It's future Hyundai features may require subscriptions as automakers readies more automated tech. Yep, Hyundai is boarding the feature on demand bandwagon, and that's unfortunate, according to this article.
According to my perspective, too, it is unfortunate.
Right, because we were talking earlier about how Tesla,
right,
you know, somebody had autopilot, and it was put in demonstration mode.
Yeah.
The guy bought it, drove off, loved it, and then there was an over-the-air update, which took it away.
Yeah, after he sold it. So the new owner thought he had it, and then Tesla took it away.
So anyway, quietly, there's a new trend inching into automotive, and it's not one Roadshow is particularly fond of.
Right.
Automakers are giving it many cheery names, but basically, you may need to subscribe to various functions in new cars. Like
steering. Brakes. No, I'm just kidding.
Heated seats, fancier headlights, or various infotainment features.
Wait a minute. You have to subscribe to a fancier headlight? Like they won't turn on the better light bulb that's sitting in the... What?
Or maybe they won't turn them up bright enough so you can see.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, all of it's on the table. Hyundai, the latest automaker to announce it's ready to embrace such a system, calls it features on demand. It's coming as soon as late 2021, according to a sweeping Thursday announcement from the company, in which it detailed its near-term strategies and the minor detail that could usher in big changes for future Hyundai owners, ties to forthcoming Level 3 partially automated driving functions and the introduction of over-the-air updates.
Right.
Otherwise called OTA updates, over the air.
What could go wrong, Bob? You're just driving along and your over the air update says, no brakes for you. No steering for you.
What happens when you get the over the air? It's like when you're doing an update on Microsoft.
Yeah.
And it gets interrupted halfway through. Your battery dies and then suddenly your firmware is toast.
Right. So here's the thing. Your car is off, right? Sitting in your garage off, but it must have to leave some sort of communication to the interwebs to get their over-the-air update, because I sure as heck do not want an over-the-air update while I'm driving. Ever.
What could happen there? That should
be illegal. Right. It should be illegal to have any update occur while the wheels are moving.
So it says, over-the-air updates aren't exactly groundbreaking these days as more automakers turn their vehicles into highly connected machines. Even the 2021 F-150 is over-the-air ready. But subscription-based features is a function quickly forging a relationship with such capabilities. Hyundai didn't detail what it plans to include in its version of the feature subscription. However, we'll surely learn soon. So, and it goes on. There's more.
You want to roll your windows down? 20 bucks a month. You want to roll them up? 25 a month. Come on.
No, we'll give you the roll down feature for free. If you want to roll them up, you got to pay.
25 bucks. There it is. Yeah, you're thinking better, Bob. It's a better marketing ploy. Yeah, I mean, gosh, this is not going to be good. Not going to be good. Because you're going to still have all the same things in the car that'll break that you won't even know they broke because they're not turned on.
Well, did it physically break or was it an update that
broke
it?
I just told you about iOS 14.2 in an iPhone that is messing with their charge. So do you think the automakers are going to do any better than Apple? Apple, all it's dealing with is a little tiny phone.
Well, programming is new to automobiles. I mean, relatively new.
Yeah.
Because they've been doing the computers for years, but that's just to run the engine, not to run all the other stuff.
Well, even that's scary. Let's go on to your calls. You're nice enough to join us. Let's go to Larry in Southington. What's going on, Larry?
I have had no problems with my email up until lately. About a month ago, Amazon tried to respond to me to change a password. When they emailed me, I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, same thing. Try to change my password with Amazon. They sent me an email. I didn't get it.
That's not good.
About 2 days later, Hulu tried to send me an email. I didn't get it. But I get all my other emails.
Right, but your email could be misconfigured on the Amazon account, or someone else could have put in a different email address. So are you sure the email address that they have on record is yours?
I'm pretty sure.
I would bet it's not. That's just me. I'm betting that they're sending the email to somebody else to change the password, and you could have your Amazon account could be compromised. Now, that's just my feeling because your email is generally working, right? If I send you an email, it's working.
I get everything from everybody.
Yeah.
Those two. And Hulu, that was the first time I ever contacted Hulu. It was to cancel a subscription.
Right.
And they were sending me back that it was going to be canceled, and I didn't get it.
Did you check in your junk mail?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I think your accounts, those two accounts, your Amazon account and your Hulu account, may have a compromise issue where the email on file has been changed by somebody, especially when you're doing a password change.
Okay.
The two-factor authentication piece of that would be your email, right? And if
started out because I was using I wasn't using my PC at home. I was using my laptop in Newport, and they said, I guess the issue came up that it didn't recognize the device that was sending it.
Right, right, and that's part of their security.
Yeah, and so therefore went to change my Amazon password. And they were supposed to send me a verification code to change it, and I never got it.
Can you change that option to be a text to your phone?
Okay. I could, except I'm not very good at texting.
No, yeah, you don't have to text anything. They'll text you.
I believe that good communication is face-to-face.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Second best is like we're talking, yep. And the worst is texting.
Well, the communication they're going to communicate to you, Larry, is just a bunch of numbers.
I see. Okay.
And then you're going to put those numbers into your account as the confirmation it's you. They want to confirm that Larry from Southington is trying to change your information, and what's happening is the email going out may not be going to you, Larry. It could be going to a bad guy.
I see. Okay, I'll give it a shot.
All right, sir. Good luck. You may have to call Amazon. Good luck with that.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Same thing with Hulu.
Okay, I will.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. But yeah, that's how things get compromised, right? I mean, if you're not getting the if you're not getting that second factor confirmation, I would get nervous.
Well, I went to a place to change my password recently.
Yeah.
And I clicked on forgot my password.
Right.
And it came up and said, what email address do you want to send this to?
That's not very good.
That's not very good. No. I'm thinking, no.
That's the worst.
I could be anybody.
That's the worst two-factor authentication on the planet. All right. So we're going to step out for a break here, right? Joey, and we'll get back to more of your calls. We got a couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. You know, we were talking about the Hyundai car where they're going to start selling you subscriptions to areas of the car like lights, heated seats. And it reminded me... I had this, you guys might remember way back when I had this car that if I took it out in the snow, I was pretty much dead. If I took it out in the snow, I would be dead because it had this life-saving technology that dealt with any kind of skid. It would cut the engine and slow it down if it detected you were slowing down. And so I would try to merge from a snowy street onto another snowy street, and the engine would continue to kill itself because it thought I was slipping. And of course, my nose is edging out into a busy road slowly. And obviously, it was saving my life to kill me. So what did I do? I hacked my car. I actually hacked my car. There's actually a combination of pedals that allowed me to turn off that feature, that, snowy skids feature button thing. And I was able to then spin my tires and get on the road because I was a ding-dong who bought rear-wheel drive. That's a whole other problem. Never use that in New England. But the reason I bring it up is now Hyundai's going to do all this stuff where they're going to charge you for these different aspects of the car. Tesla's been doing it as well. And, of course, what's happening? People are hacking their cars. And Tesla's trying to combat it. But the point is, you can do it. So you get people hacking their cars at better mufflers, better whatever. You guys know what you're doing when it comes to maintaining your cars. Imagine having geeks out there offering you an iOS update for your Tesla that offers the overdrive and all this stuff to be loaded on top of your car as a mod, as it were. So clearly that could be a problem for these manufacturers if the hackers can figure out how to wipe the iOS and then empower the things they're trying to charge you for. And it's really not really far-fetched out of the realm of possibility. You've got already, people, what is it called, Bob, when you break into your iPhone there?
Jailbreak.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. You can jailbreak your iPhone. You can jailbreak your car. So just imagine, that business that'll be coming to a garage near you. Let's go to John in Newington next. What's going on, John? You there?
Hello?
Yes. Hey, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Basically, I got a question. That Open DNS, I have Frontier, and I have Frontier's hardware, so I guess a modem and router all one unit. Can I use Open DNS, or
yeah.
It has to be done with through, like, Xfinity?
No, so it doesn't have to be done through Xfinity. There's many ways to control this. Some of the routers that are being offered by the cable companies do allow you to make some setting changes, right?
Okay.
The problem is you'll never know if they reset them on you.
Gotcha.
Because if they ever have an issue to reset or update your system, then all the settings go away. So the alternative is to buy your own router and modem.
Okay. Gotcha.
That you're in control, and then you put the settings in, and then you know when you reset it, and you can always reconfigure it. Or you can put the configurations on each device manually, saying to the router, I want your IP address, but I'm going to choose the DNS settings.
Gotcha. So
there's three different approaches to getting it implemented. The best approach, I think, is to have control over your network,
yep.
Replace their router and modem, and it saves you money on top of it. So.
And does it matter if I go out and purchase my own router and modem? Does it matter if later on I change to Xfinity versus Frontier? Or is it specific to... It doesn't.
The router doesn't. The modem
does. Okay. The modem does.
Yeah. So try to get a separate device. A modem for the service you're using, and the router is going to be your router. That's going to work no matter what you do.
Okay. So if I did change... Internet companies, I would have to get another router for that internet company.
Modem, another modem.
Modem. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and now you're in Newington.
Huh?
You're in Newington, right? So you have access to Go NetSpeed too, right?
Unfortunately, my home is on the ground, so they cannot. Yeah, relatively newer cul-de-sac, so all our stuff is on the ground, and they can't run it on the ground. So I'm out of luck when it came to that, but... And it doesn't matter whether you have an iMac or a Windows-based machine.
It does not.
Yeah, Open DNS. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Open DNS is just a setting. And
just a setting.
That's all you're doing.
Yep. Just the way to get on there.
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's what I'll do.
All right, John.
Look to purchase my own. All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. Good luck.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go on to Vicky in Burlington next. What's going on, Vicky?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So I have a question about internet in an RV. We recently purchased one and took it across country for about 15 days, went through 20 states, and between us we had a Verizon MiFi and an AT&T plan, both cellular plans with hotspots.
Yep.
And I was doing pretty well until we blew through the 15 gig we originally purchased on the Verizon MiFi, and the bandwidth dropped to basically nothing. And I'm a remote worker, always have been, so I'm doing like Zoom calls and things like that. So I obviously stopped doing video and things, and, you know, and tried to minimize my bandwidth, but it really got difficult. So I was kind of hopping between both of AT&T and the Verizon to see which had better service. But once the Verizon went over the cliff, it was useless to me.
Right.
There is a plan through the Family Motor Coach Association with Sprint that they say is unlimited, and they say it's not throttled, but I'm looking at, so my question is really threefold. Is there really, truly a cellular plan that's unlimited and not throttled?
No.
If not, is there a way to boost cell while you're driving? And then third, when we do stop at an RV park, on occasion we are too far away from their Wi-Fi to pick it up, and is there a way to boost inside the RV, you know, economically boost the Wi-Fi?
Wow, okay, lots of questions. I will tell you that there is no such thing as a truly unlimited plan, period. They're all limited in some way. They all have a catch. It's unlimited until this setting. You know, until you get to this point. So I don't think you have any way around that. You could consider using satellite-based internet, like our resident groupie Danny is so happy with. Starlink maybe would be a choice, or other satellite services where you put a satellite dish on your RV. So that might work
for you. Yeah, I've seen those, and what I've heard about those is that the the Dan, it's a little too slow to do like what I need to do with Zoom calls.
Okay.
Is my misunderstanding that?
No, you're probably right. You're probably right. It's not going to be a good bandwidth. We're coming up against a hard break, but the alternative of trying to get to the closer Wi-Fi spot when you're parked, it would mean you have to configure a booster of some kind in your own RV that'll grab that signal and try to reboost it in your RV. You're gonna have to configure it every time. Netgear offers those boosters and stuff like that where you actually have to configure it when you're in the campsite. But we're out of time. I wish I could give you more advice there. Vicki, maybe give us a ring next Saturday.
Okay, great. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Joey for Joey Burgoyne back in Farmington for helping out. Mike G for posting everything live.
See you next week.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.